How do you think the terrible people who yelled at us for using the word sluts last year are going to feel when they find out that the primary method of finding college football people to follow on Blue Sky is just a list called football cunts?
Well, we didn't make that list.
You kind of did.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a long story, but I would say you effectuated that list.
You
There we
know,
go.
I am the Archduke Franz Ferdinand in
You
this
ins
situation.
No man can kill
Ryan,
you.
Ryan. I think you were the first cunt, the prime cunt,
Sure.
the in most inspirational cunt.
Gail says, but when Holly calls me a slut, I feel empowered. Gail, I wish you had been moderating our Discord back in the day.
All right.
Again, it's great to be back. It's
Are we
fantastic.
waiting to hit a certain number, or are we just saying, let's do
I mean,
this?
we're at 300.
Yeah.
What feels lucky?
Well, 300 is like the count's all dorked up because it's coming counting
That's
various.
almost as many yards as Nico threw for today.
It's like counting however many different outlets and.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The live viewers don't count anybody on LinkedIn, and clearly, everybody on LinkedIn is that's where the place is. LinkedIn, the place for
Listen.
live audio.
No, listen. I'm putting Robert Goines' comment up here. It's absolutely true. If you haven't listened to this show on LinkedIn, like, I don't know if it's because their servers are not crowded because we're the only ones on
Because
there,
it's
but
11:30 at night on the East Coast.
The experience is crystalline. It
Yeah.
is so good.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not, I
11:30
refresh for
night on
that.
the East Coast, that's the time when they should be grinding the
That's
hardest.
right. That's when you're differentiating yourself from your competitors.
On
That's why our
LinkedIn, though,
people.
specifically.
Yeah.
Oh, I okay.
Yeah. No, our people are out there. Our people are out there. Nose to that grindstone, which is
Right.
why they're here with us tonight.
We've
Hey,
crossed
Larissa.
400, so I think you can start the show.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right, we're gonna do it. We're gonna do the thing.
Fullcast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the Fullcast After Dark.
What?
Oh.
Oh no. Oh god, they're awake. Oh no. That was a mistake.
Oh yeah, that is the Fullcast After Dark presented by Prize Picks. This is week one, not week zero, not a rehearsal, week one of the college football season. Yeah. I'm looking at week one, and I am looking at the scoreboard because I knew Ryan was going to jump in there and go, Spencer, are you sure it's week one? Yeah, I am. I am. I'm reading off a list and everything.
Got his ass, hypothetically.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. This year we add a bonus round called Spencer, is this a conference game?
Yes. And you know what? I'm going to just cut myself some forgiveness on that. I'm going to, like, advance Slack applied.
That's actually a great method for how you – that's actually a great term for how you move through life. Just cutting myself some forgiveness.
Dear government, I have extended my own tax deadline. I hope you understand. Love, Spencer.
It works better than you think, Ryan.
As a sovereign commentator.
Yeah, you should try it.
Dear Gerald Government, how are you?
Dear LinkedIn, I am here to discuss my revolutionary method for managing, and it's called forgiving yourself in advance.
Ooh, I got a trivia. I got some trivia. You guys want some trivia?
Would love
Sure.
it.
We love trivia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who is responsible for the first P4, God, that's weird, win for the Southeastern Conference for the 2024-2025 college football season?
I know the answer to this, but I'm not going to say it because you told me this earlier.
I'm going to see if anybody in the comments has it. Who is responsible for the... There!
Yeah,
thank you, Diva. Divico got it. Vandy, baby.
That's correct.
As lifelong Vanderbilt, as four lifelong Vanderbilt fans, as evidenced by the fact that it's the only photo in existence of all four of us together.
Vanderbilt football.
Just what a night. What a night for all of us.
Unstoppable.
Us and Diego Pavia.
If you don't know Diego
he
Pavia.
He freezes in fucking shambles right now.
Can I hit, just maybe if anybody listening, maybe if your ears have not heard the tale of Diego Pavia, can I go ahead and give you the brief on Diego Pavia and what
genius he is. Can
you
do like a Spanish guitar riff before then, like in Huber Blue Highway?
No, you can start playing Roland by Limp Bizkit, because I think Diego Pavia is way more of a Roland guy. Diego
Anything
Pavia,
from Man of La Mancha.
That'll do. So high school wrestling champion in the state of New Mexico. Parents and Diego Pavia got Diego Pavia's parents at a tournament once got into a fight, like a brawl, with some of the other opposing parents. Just to let you know how his entire family rolls, he attended New Mexico State. When he did, he beat Liberty. And then when Hugh Freeze left that week to go take the Auburn gig, Diego Pavia, for a New Mexico State team with a winning record itself, its own monumental achievement, beat Auburn at Jordan-Hare twice in a row.
We all saw.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone saw.
Diego Pavia's offseason prior to that was highlighted or marred, take a pick, by video of him urinating on the University of New Mexico's logo inside their practice facility.
Oh.
If you didn't think this man wasn't going to game, if you didn't think he wasn't here to ball, if you didn't think he wasn't here to take heads and take them home, put them in his big old room full of other football heads, you were wrong. But you were absolutely wrong.
They're all Hugh Freeze's head.
They're all that was very impolite. That was very impolite of him, but I forgive you.
Hugh Freeze is a Hydra, it turns out.
Do not Google
he better
Hugh Freeze's
be.
Head. Do not.
Yeah, the love has gone out of my life.
Okay, please continue.
Yeah, in addition to
in
that,
MSL
Diego
else grows back twice if you cut it off.
That's so creepy. In addition to that, Diego Pavia transferred to Vanderbilt, where this season, after starting 1-0 with a stellar win
So hold on. Not just Diego Pavia. His head coach transferred to Vanderbilt, where he is.
That is correct.
Coach. Jerry Kill is not the head coach of Vanderbilt, but he's associate head coach or something.
No,
like
but
that.
he's not the head coach of Vanderbilt in the same way that you didn't start the football cunts thread.
Sure. His offensive coordinator, who is Tim Beck, but not that Tim Beck, weirdly enough.
Mm-hmm.
He was also not Tim Brewster, who we also keep confusing with him.
Correct. Yes. Right. Like he didn't. It's not just Diego Pavia. It's like Diego Pavia and his squad transferred to Vanderbilt. Be like, let's fix whatever you got going. All right, whatever dumb Nashville bullshit you got going on, let's beat some heads in.
Yeah, I just see Clark Lee sitting in his office being like,
train's coming. They said it's the Pavia boys.
Life's so sad. All of a sudden, like Beautiful Girls.
Somebody call for a football plumber.
Right. Like the riff from Beautiful Girls from Van Halen starts. Kick in the door.
What do you want to do with your life? I want Pavia.
Clark Lee, you just need a little rock in your life.
These are such contemporary references for our young modern audience.
I know. But that's the vibe, right? It's 100% the vibe. Yeah, they want to rock, and they're going to. And they ran a bunch of, like, glorious high school bullshit, too, against them. Like, they ran, Diego Pavia will stretch an option to the very limit of the definition of legal pass, right? Like, you've got me, it's out of my hand, right? Like, he threw at least two passes today where I was like, I think that was forward. Doesn't matter. I think that was across the line. Fucking matter.
Nope.
What did we just watch today? Ryan, what is the one thing you go, I just watched that, and wow.
Notre Dame it's literally what just happened. Notre Dame doesn't win that game, right? Like, I feel like we watch Notre Dame play that game every year. Mm-hmm. It's the Ohio State game last year. It's the Georgia game, I think very early in Kirby Smart's tenure. Obviously, like, they did they beat Texas? I can't even remember
It's like every big bowl game.
There are all these, like, it's always like 13-13 entering the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and you're sort of, and mostly you just sort of sit with it and you're like, huh, I feel like Notre Dame should have won this game already. I feel like Notre Dame should have put this game away. And then they don't. Like, some dumb shit happens. And Notre Dame loses, and it's fine. Like, you know, sometimes that means they have a 8-win season. Sometimes they still win 11 games. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But they won this time.
Yeah, the question. I like your voice went up a little bit. They won.
It still feels weird because it had a lot of like hallmarks of, oh, this is the way. And listen, Austin is right. A&M always loses that game. That's a really strong counter. There it is.
That's a really astute point.
That's a really strong counterpoint.
Someone had to lose.
Unless it's Bama.
Sure.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow.
So so there was these two things. Something had to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this whole other thing. The most reliable sports, most reliable trend in all of sports, which is, Ryan, I believe you calculated this at some point, the Ted Cruz effect.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore, thanks to media dying slowly.
Excellent.
In that case, it was media dying quickly.
Can I do a little reading in its place?
Sure.
So, when Tex-Ags announced yesterday that Trev Alberts and Ted Cruz would have a little impromptu press box at Kyle Field regarding NIL legislation, the Tex-Ags mentions are full of actual Ted Cruz voters begging him to stay away from the game.
Mm-hmm. I
just want to select a couple. And if you can imagine all of these with American flag emojis and blue checks next to their names, you're in the right place. All right, let's pick one at random. No, I like Ted Cruz, but he doesn't need to be at that game. Please keep him away from Kyle Field. I voted and will continue to vote for you, Ted Cruz, but you already cost me a World Series. Please don't be at this game tomorrow. I love TC, but get him the fuck out of Kyle Field.
The best part is you're like, well, you know, some politicians are sort of like trapped in their own world. Maybe Ted Cruz doesn't know about the Ted Cruz curse and isn't aware that people feel this way. When people have written about this in the past, Ted Cruz staffers have like gone after them online to be like, this is garbage. This is bullshit. And
they're like junior ESPN publicists. Yes. They are the name searchingest bunch. And they hate it.
Like, listen,
his team is pretty clearly quite online, just based on some of the shit that, you know, I've seen them refer to that normal people just do not remember. So, like, yeah, they've seen this.
Like,
they know about this.
We should absolutely. Ted Cruz should be the game day picker 1 week just to see.
Oh, man.
First man to go 0-22.
Just the game for that. Texas versus Texas A&M. 2024.
Can you imagine how, like, you know how Lee Corso puts on the mascot head and some people are like, oh, that's good for us. And some people are like, oh, man, Lee Corso didn't pick us, whatever. Every team Ted Cruz picked, if he was the game day picker, it would just be like, no, you're ruining everything. Destroyed us.
The number I've seen is that in the games that he has like posted public support of a team.
Yeah.
The alleged record is 2-16.
His college football record, I do remember that. His college football record is terrible.
Yeah, and there were also basketball games as well. I know that.
Spencer, what did one reader call him? The Cancun Cooler?
The Cancun Cooler, baby! Is your team too hot? Are things going a little too well? Why don't you invite old Death Pants himself?
Kyle has an important question. Anyone checking in on how Tex-Ags is doing? I have it tonight.
I mean, rational...
I don't have gloves right now, so I'm not sure I should open it.
A rational way to look at this would be...
Let's just read some subject lines.
You hosted the number 7 team in the nation. You played them really well, even though, like, Connor Wegman made some bad throws in this game.
Yeah.
Like, some real iffy decision-making. But, like, overall, offensive line played better. Defense was nastier. Like,
nasty.
They didn't play perfectly.
Absolutely nasty. They're going to be good.
But, like, you know, so you should be able to walk away.
All right, you
like,
want football for him or politics for him?
Please, football for him. Please. Okay. It's too early in the show to do politics for him.
All right.
Yeah.
Yo,
they
hey,
looked, I
hey,
mean, they looked
to
like.
To the person
like,
suggesting I will be an emotionally well-adjusted Aggie fan this year, absolutely not.
What?
Absolutely not. I only do that for Ohio State. A stable and steady part of our nation's economy. Not.
Oh, boys.
Not the not the WeWork that is Texas A&M.
Listen, mm-hmm. I came in here looking for Ted Cruz slander, but we are 10 minutes removed from the beginning of a thread that says should have kept Jimbo.
Should have kept Jimbo. Should have kept Jimbo. Holly, is that thread by chance about Coach Elko's fashion?
Let's see.
Because the highlight of this game for me was Mike Elbow. Mike
would
Elko's
Jimbo
garb.
Would a Jimbo team have fared better tonight? Who knows? Would not have been worse.
Mm. What?
Keep Jimbo. Spend the money on the players.
Okay, I'm with that. I'm actually think that I mean, is the correct.
Yeah, wait. Do you understand that Jimbo gets the money either way? What? There's no world.
No. They're proposing robbing Jimbo.
I'm sorry. That's on Texag's.
Jimbo to pay players.
Yeah. I guess you're not paying Elko that money. Then,
they're
going to
extort Jimbo. So
the
just
board,
make that
the thread
line.
That just says the first thread with conspiracy in the line is six minutes old.
Yes.
Jason, what were you saying about Mike Elko's fashion?
Did y'all see this shirt he was wearing?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell what
it was. That's a smock.
A muumuu would also be a word that I would consider applying to it.
I think a muumuu has to completely cover the butt, and I don't think that was quite down to like haunches.
I know there are many different varieties of definitions for smock. I know some of them involve tying in the back and so forth.
I just meant it looked like he was going to do some crafts.
Well, absolutely, yes. Casper was the first thing that came to mind for me.
How about the schmoo?
Spencer called it a what did you call it, the thing you put over a bird cage to make the bird go to sleep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought he looked like, and he kind of looked like that.
Fire Colin Klein! Come on, y'all. No.
I will say something.
We did get shut down. Full cast. Social media studio did get people sending in Sleepy Time Bear Mike Elko photoshops.
Yeah.
He got the highlights of the day. Keep that thing on him, and the thing is a little pointy cap.
Yeah. That's it. All I'm trying to do is be as relaxed and confident as Mike Elko in that shirt, because we were talking about how he looked like a default character in a video game where you choose the option not nude.
Tarnished.
I'll tell you what Ted Cruz is doing. Ted Cruz is distracting these people from what I really wanted to see post-game, which was A&M fans reacting to losing to a Catholic school.
Oh, mm-hmm. Boy.
I don't see anything. Searching for papists.
Yeah, so there's your game. There it is. Is that anything we're going to remember in 3 months about either of these teams? I don't know. I kind of looked at it, and I sort of thought that maybe Connor Wegman's not going to have that starting job a long time.
That could be. The other thing I thought was, this is not really related to the game. Outside of sports, if somebody told you, as Riley Leonard has, I transferred from Duke to Notre Dame, wouldn't you immediately be suspicious of that person?
Instantly.
Wouldn't you immediately be like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's certainly Stephen Miller adjacent.
Right.
What were the charges? That would be my first question.
That's like a Steve Miller, Steve Bannon combo.
But for Riley Leonard, it works.
All right, let's lob out an actual football question in here from Alexander Chase, because I'd like to hear from all y'all. Notre Dame's play calling was shocking, and Elko is absolutely helping distract from that. Thoughts?
Yeah, his shirt was really distracting, I thought.
It was.
When I looked at that thing, I didn't think about anything else for at least 20 minutes after that.
He did look. Listen, it had a killer logo on it, though. It had like the Sarge logo.
Yeah.
Which also kind of looked like the Schmoo.
Army dog.
Like if the Schmoo was a cop.
But yeah, I was very confusing game that really sort of like, good for Notre Dame. I don't know if it really is that much of a data point for A&M because that's kind of the kind of ball they're going to play.
Like, for week one, I appreciate that many fourth down conversions.
Yeah. Listen.
Arizona, what are you doing, baby?
There's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of what are you doing on, like,
there were a lot of teams fucking around this evening.
Here are games we should just like tick off the list. UCLA 16, Hawaii 13. Just gonna leave that out in the ether.
What was the final at Michigan?
Ended up pulling away a little bit in that, 30-10. Mm. Oh, a number that looks respectable, but yes, that game was close for a long, long time.
Oregon wasted their best uniforms on frittering against Idaho.
Yeah.
That game was it's a real fucking puzzle, because like you look at it and you look at the stats, whatever Dylan Gabriel threw for almost 400 yards, and it's like, okay, well, I'm sure they put up 40 something points. No, it's there was close. Part of that game just disappeared into a time vortex, and like very briefly, Idaho had a real chance to win that game, and I just kept thinking, this will be the funniest result in Big Ten Network history. Not the biggest. Not the biggest. That'd be Michigan App State. But it would be the funniest.
It would be nice for Oregon to come in carrying an App State. It would be neighborly of Oregon to come in carrying an App State-like apparatus on their back. In addition, by the way, to Dylan Gabriel throwing for 380 yards, Jordan James had 95 yards on the ground.
Is Oregon experiencing like offensive hyperinflation where it's like, oh no, we have 1,000 yards, but they only buy crackers. Shit.
So they're like trying to cash in Pac-12 yards in the Big Ten.
Yes. You're like, it may really be a
conversion rate issue.
Yeah. Oregon, you are the most Big Ten West team, literally. So.
And again, the best uniforms. What a waste.
South Carolina. South Carolina.
Hell yeah, brothers.
Did
anybody but me watch this one?
In the middle slot, Spencer and I were downstairs watching almost all of this game.
I watched so much of this game, and I feel so bad. My tummy hurts.
Now, South Carolina fans are like, wait a second. You haven't talked about Florida. What the fuck? And we're going to get to Florida, I assure
you.
We
will.
But we should pause for a minute to talk about South Carolina 23, Old Dominion 19.
The highlight of this game for me was when South Carolina's quarterback ran down the running back, just trampled him, was really eager to get in there and lay a block on literally anyone, and just flattened his own guy. When I saw that, picture me LeBron lying meme. When I saw that, I knew South Carolina was going to win by 10.
Yeah, Lenora Sellers. You know what? Lenora Sellers, that his running back had an open lane, and he was like, too open. You got to earn it.
You do.
Wow.
You do.
Not gonna let you have it free.
We've got at least one person getting news in here. Good evening, Joseph.
Texas Tech beating Abilene Christian 52-51 in overtime.
Oh.
Saw that. Normal. Saw that. Normal. Central Arkansas only losing on the last play of the game when Arkansas State threw a touchdown pass. Saw that too.
Mm-hmm.
New Mexico State currently losing to SEMO.
Wow.
In the fourth, no less.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona currently tied with the worst New Mexico.
Beginning to be concerned about my Northwestern playoff pick.
That's fine. You know what? Got the dub.
Got the dub. All I got to do is win the Big Ten.
Defense first dub.
And by the way, I am with both Roger and Jason. I see no reason for them to move away from that stadium.
Holly, did you know it gets cold? Did you know it gets cold?
Did you know it gets cold?
I think the funniest thing I saw online all day today was people explaining Chicago area weather to Roger Sherman.
Ooh.
Roger, did you know it gets cold?
Look at Roger's face.
Like, Roger gives a shit if it's cold.
They should make it colder.
Roger went to Northwestern.
They should bring in air conditioners.
Somebody heard some shit about lake effect. That's a term I know. Did you know that term? I'll use the term on you because I know it, and you probably don't. Yes, it gets cold. Make it colder.
I've been in lake effect snow in Wisconsin for the Paul Bunyan game. It's nice.
They should bring out huge ice blocks like it's a Frozen Mario level or some shit like that.
They need to just keep the Yacht Club. Keep the Yacht Club for every Northwestern home game. Take that stadium and burn it for the insurance
money. Touchdown, New Mexico.
Whee!
They're playing Arizona, if you were wondering.
Everything's fine.
At Arizona,
yeah.
If you were wondering.
This is great for the Big Sky, because this is boosting Montana State.
That's correct.
As Big Sky boosters, this place is us.
That is our first, for this season of Fullcast After Dark, that is our first shouts out to the Big Sky Conference.
Game of the day, we can all agree, was Boise State, Georgia Southern.
Correct. Has the individual rush line of the day.
Yeah, the silliest stat of the day. Six touchdown day for
on
Ashton.
How, on Ashton Gentry.
On
that's his name.
20 carries.
Mm-hmm.
To 60 knees on 20 carries.
I was just going to say, I didn't watch all of this, but at one point when I was watching this game, did I see him? Was he cramping up from running too much?
He scored too many touchdowns. Yeah. He was exhausted from scoring touchdowns. He was laying in the end zone being worked on after, I think it was his sixth.
It was his sixth, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the announcers were being silly, and then I went and looked at his stat line. I'm like, oh no.
His body was literally like, come on, stop it.
He was suffering from success. Like, and like, this isn't some dude who's like from the Northwest and you know, hadn't encountered that type of humidity. He's from Jacksonville. Like, yeah. He was built for this, literally built for this. But
you picture like Dr. House walking in and writing on a whiteboard, touchdown poisoning, question mark.
touchdowns. Lupus made of touchdowns.
How'd they catch you?
He's got tutty malaise.
Hey, if you leave Fort Knox wide open, eventually
sure.
The robber's going to die of exhaustion carrying all the gold.
Smart.
Out.
That's smart. That's a good idea.
Yeah. That was actually GD today.
The monkey's hand and a coconut.
Yeah.
I love the play of the day, by the way, is that number 15 for Georgia Southern. Pardon me, I do not remember your name, but I do remember your number. Ashton GT's on the goal line. They line him up at second down, and he hits Ashton GT so fucking hard. Absolutely faces him up, pushes him like 8 yards to the side. Georgia Southern's fired up like, yeah, yeah, we finally got this motherfucker. Yeah. Third down, let's stop him. Whoop. Waltzes right in.
Yeah.
Next third down.
It was a cool tackle, though. He escorted him to the sideline like a bouncer.
Yeah, he was like, sir, you have to leave.
Sir, you've been overserved on touchdowns.
Yeah, and Ashton GT came back into the bar the next round and was like, I'm bad for everybody!
Another run on me.
Another run on me.
This line says 5 touchdowns or fewer. Please go to the regular line.
I think you mean 5 touchdowns or less.
I did.
Got him.
Want to discuss one of the uglier, less competitive games of the day. Georgia-Clemson. Hi.
Oof.
Yeah.
Dabo home crying in his weird little castle.
No, Dabo's not crying. Dabo's not crying at all. Everything's great. Everything's absolutely fantastic.
Dabo said, I feel bad for the fans.
Yeah. Well,
Dabo, have you met your fans?
he used to meet them when they were allowed to call him on the phone.
Yeah, this was a game, if you wanted to know, hey, when was this game over? It was when the game started. Was the first play.
I disagree with that.
No, Clemson
had
nothing.
I actually disagree with
nothing.
That.
Nothing.
So are you saying it was just guaranteed Georgia was going to score eventually and Clemson never was?
Yeah, Clemson was never going to score. That game could have ended 3-0 Georgia.
Okay.
That's my argument.
That's fine.
Because
that's
Clemson
fine.
Is
yeah.
so inert.
As
so
I
inert.
Have, as, I have a question about – sorry.
Well, as former Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Roddy White put it, Clemson has too many white guys. Too many white guys at the skill positions, and I think that's a critical problem that they should address.
Roddy White said that, not us.
I have a question White about Georgia that I'm okay. going to try and walk out here very carefully.
Great.
Because I said this earlier, and I said, is it possible? Kirby's not like this. Will Muschamp would have done this. Kirby does not – this is not how Kirby's brain works, and it's not how Mike Bobo coaches. But would it not be funny if Georgia was determined to not open the playbook against Clemson?
That'd be brutal.
That's the only explanation – that's the only – maybe one of the only rational explanations I can think of for Georgia, maybe the only team in the country who we're sure from week one can go athlete to athlete with anybody else in the country – going in to play Clemson and acting like they don't have horses?
Is it worse that they didn't have to?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, is it because they didn't have to, or are we seeing something else?
I think...
we have no way of knowing, but let's recklessly speculate.
So Michael Serber's not on this show. Our producer, Doug, is the one who handles this one. Doug's here, but we're going to let Doug hang out. And Serber has expressed great belief in the front seven. For Clemson. And I think some of the first half bore that out. But a lot of, like, Clemson's offense just wasn't on the fucking field for a lot of this game. And it felt like at some point it was like, you cannot ask any team to just go out there and be like, yeah, that's fine. We'll get 5 more stops. Like, Georgia only had 5 more minutes of possession in this game. But it did not feel that way for long stretches. And that only flipped because Clemson got, like, you know, a long field goal drive. And Georgia started scoring quickly and just didn't have the ball anymore. I think there is maybe more to be respected about Clemson's defense or defensive potential. But to Spencer's point, it might not matter because... you threw 29 passes and you didn't get to 150 yards. That's a problem.
I'm with User William. I'm with William in here. Kirby didn't want to show Georgia Tech his playbook.
Smart. Actually, based on the revolution that Brent Key is bringing over from Ireland, he's going to unify the state of Georgia.
WWE's Sheamus has apparently joined Georgia Tech's roster of pro wrestlers. Sure.
That's right. They've brought him home.
Like, yeah, this is just...
It's real bad. It's really, really super bad. Like, there were a couple of things today that I would qualify as okay, yeah, it's just week one. No, this is real bad. And it's either going to slide sideways or get worse. And one of them is Clemson's offense, because I understand George is very talented. I understand they have reads, but what that offense is doing right now, there is a play from the second quarter that was the funniest shit I saw all day, which was formation. They line up. Clemson motions a receiver across the form. They shift. Then they motion a receiver across the formation. Then they do a play fake, and they play fake to the back, and the back goes out on the flat. So they're play faking to the guy they're going to throw to, which isn't necessarily a terrible thing all the time. But then they get a little half roll, like, ooh, another thing, right? Thrust, dodge, parry, twist. They move left, and then then Cade Klubnik winds up and fires right to the guy in the flat, and there are two Georgia defenders who have not moved the entire time. Like, they are just standing there.
They just no-sold all the window dressing.
You're
describing that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark with the swordsman.
I am, yeah. More timely references. We are, yeah, like, they're just two dudes both waiting there like, hello, hi. Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
It kind of feels like a lot of the play calling, especially like some of the decisions not to go for it or like to kick that fucking field, that 26-yard field goal to cut the lead from 13 to 10. A lot of it feels like Clemson is going out there acting under the assumption that they have the same talent level they did when they were playing for national championships and that they can call a game in the same way. Like they don't try anything. Like, I think other teams, when they play Georgia or Ohio State or Michigan or, like, you know, a top team that they understand that there is a talent deficit, they understand we have to try some shit. Clemson doesn't try any shit.
Yeah.
They're just like, we can line up and do football against you. And Georgia's like, you really can't.
Yeah. So, like, the thing about, you know, they brought over Garrett Riley, exciting offensive coordinator, and it's like, is this actually going to change anything, or is he going to be consumed into Dabo's cult of personality? Right? Like, is it even going to matter that they finally hired from outside the his little family tree? So far, I don't know.
Yeah, because old staffers, they've been there a real long time. And sometimes when you bring in a new coach, it doesn't really matter because you didn't bring in all the assistants who understand what that guy's trying to do or believe in it. And can teach it.
We're going to get to the power of the team with 1,000 assistants, the Florida Gators.
Hang on. Slanderous comments about Captain Server chickening out of the show because Clemson lost me. Y'all, Server's literally never done full cast After Dark. Only do we have a whole ass different producer for it, we just introduced him like 5 minutes ago. Get with it.
Yeah, your princess is in another castle. Everybody.
Yeah, hi, I'm right here.
Oh, shit.
Y'all done woke up,
hey,
Doug.
How many seasons have you been back there, Doug?
I think we're on season 4 now.
Too many. Don't answer that question.
Server does not deserve
Doug,
the shit.
Doug Erasure and Server slander.
That's right.
Eat shit, y'all.
Spencer, before we talk about the exciting Florida-Miami game, would you like to tell us a little bit about this week's sponsor, Prize Picks?
That's right. Official sponsor of the Full Cast After Dark. Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, you just bet against the numbers. If you've listened to Fullcast during the week, we do a more or less segment where we just yell more or less at various things. That's basically the whole concept here. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. And if you're like me, making 4 correct picks, I could do that. You could turn $10 into $1,000. All right. For instance, you know, if you're watching, the pros, if you will, and you got a receiver who you go, oh, I think he's going to get more than 90 yards in week one. Guess what? You just tap more. That's how it works. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including, yes, California, Texas, and Georgia. We have done this. It is but simple, super easy.
It's so simple. Spencer's explaining it.
It's so simple. I'm explaining it, right? I'm currently even. Currently even, which...
That's not more or less.
Well, that's graded against how other people do. That's me being up, technically being up. So, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code FULLCASTDARK for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code FULLCASTDARK on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Speaking of dark...
We're going to go there.
Speaking of a game...
Yeah, speaking of a game,
one team did run.
All right, so Spencer and I talked beforehand, and we agreed that only one of us should speak on this. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just, I have a lot of
thoughts.
I think
this is sweet. That's sweet of y'all.
I have a lot of considerate. I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm going to keep them quiet, and I'm going to let Spencer talk about.
Wait. No, if you do it, it'll be shorter.
No, that's okay. Spencer's more interesting than I am, and I'm fine with that. So he can.
He's also like. There's also likely he'll like take off downhill, and we can't catch him.
Nope. I'm going to be very quick and tell everybody exactly what happened in this game.
Yes.
All right.
Go ahead.
Miami was better at the offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver, at defensive back, at linebacker. They probably punted better, but I'm not even going to look that up. They have an outstanding pair of. Running backs, by the way, in Fletcher and Martinez, who are wallopers, and they barely have to use them because they were that good. Xavier Restrepo is really great. Cam Ward is a revelation. I will say it is very hard to tell exactly how much of a revelation because he was going up against a team that has not been recruited well enough to play sloppy football and make it up on talent and hasn't been coached well enough to be less talented but smarter and in the right place. They don't do anything well. They're not going to do anything well. It's year three. Billy Napier doesn't do any of that shit. He's going to get fired. And that's pretty much all we need to say because that will be every game this season. It's going to be the worst season in Florida football history. There.
I only want to add one thing.
Sure.
I lied. You know Florida is fucked because we have entered the death spiral where people are talking about Billy Napier not in terms of how the team could get better, who they like, where there's room for improvement, what they can fix week one to week two. All of the discussion is like, well, Florida would have to pay Billy Napier a lot of money, and they have an interim president right now. It's all like side bullshit that has nothing to do with football about why Billy Napier might not get fired.
Yeah, once like, you get into like, well, there's institutional context, yes, your football team's doing great.
Once you're explaining the rules of the board game, like, mm-hmm, it has nothing to do. Yeah,
once you're like, so you remember Ben Sassy?
Yeah, Dan Mullen is indeed dunking on his former employer on Twitter.
Let him.
Via
let
coworker.
Him, sure.
My only other feeling, honestly, this is not to discount Miami or anything Miami did. Florida is such a mess and is such a, like, inconsistent shit show that it makes it hard for me to like get a good read on how good Miami is because
I can leave them at good. That's a
yeah.
Good
oh,
team.
I don't doubt that they're good, but like
yeah, that's a good football team.
Cam Ward is like hanging out in a clean pocket,
thrown across his body with impunity,
throwing to guys who are wide open, who then don't get tackled very quickly, and there you put all this together and you're just sort of like.
Huh.
It doesn't look hard. Sometimes it doesn't look hard because you're a very good football team, and I'm not like ruling out that that's what Miami is. But
could be. Yeah.
Sometimes you're playing somebody who just like is fucking clueless. Is just fucking clueless.
Yeah.
And worst of all, it's boring. Florida football is boring as shit right now. I know we hated all the other coaches before this, but they were not so consistently boring as this football team is.
Yeah. So, over under rest of the way, 4 total wins on the year.
That's probably, I might be 3, man. I don't know.
Okay, so under?
Can I take a push?
Sure.
Okay. Like it feels 4-8. It feels 4-8.
Less. That's what that's
in. There we go.
Sure. Of our you're sponsor. Right. You're right.
The brand
you're
is
right.
strong.
Yeah.
So assuming Florida has a losing record on the year, which feels likely looking at mm-hmm. the schedule. This would be four straight losing seasons for the Gators, which has not happened since the 1930s. And that was like 60 years before y'all invented football.
Yeah. It's bad. Like there's,
oh, God,
there's,
so
there's, this is a low. There will be new lows. They don't do anything right. And they show no ability to get better. So my personal advice is you should watch something else.
Yes.
It's not even a good hate watch.
No, it's not. It's not interesting bad.
Yeah.
It's not.
We're not even going to be a pleasant farce.
Maybe if they decide, like, fuck it, we're going with DJ Lagway. Maybe then I can see, like, some interest in doing this. But for now, yeah. And, like, yeah. good on Miami for putting together a game where Mario yeah. Cristobal didn't have to make any choices whatsoever. Like, we love dogging on Mario Cristobal's game management. This was passive income, baby. What an investment.
Yeah. Dude is 1-8 in rivalry games too. Like, you just go, man, you can't do any of this shit. You can't do any of this shit. Like not a bit of it. Not a single fucking bit of it.
I think you should just declare Samford a rival.
It's tough because people have several people, including friends of this show, have told me that this is Florida's Brady Hoke. And Brady Hoke's record at Michigan was so much better than
so
Billy
Napier's.
It's not even close.
Yeah. Ron Zook's record was better, man.
I was going to say, Ron Zook was your Brady Hoke.
Dan Mullen yeah. was way better.
Yeah, Dan Mullen was better. Yeah.
So
it's bad. It's all bad.
It's bad. And we're steering out of Florida zone now.
Thank you.
It was really fun for a few minutes. And Florida is really interesting. I think they're one of the most interesting teams right now.
Also,
but
we're all going to laugh really hard when we think Miami is good based on this game.
There's that.
You should also look at Miami's
features.
There's
some weak oneness here.
There's, yeah, we're not going to play the schedule game.
That's
we don't
really
have
mean
to.
Of Florida when you think about it.
Nothing about Miami's next 2 months really is going to like disabuse you of that notion, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think we'll stick a pin in $26 million. That is interesting. I wanted to discuss how a thing I saw like a lot of today was people saying like, oh, College Football 25, the video game, wasn't actually making up bullshit on me. This is what college football is actually like. You know, like the craziest interception you've ever seen. The refs briefly forget the rules. You know, a coach does something absolutely random. The game is just broken all over the place. And like, you know, yeah, EA Sports kind of got that right. The game wasn't lying to you. This is what college football looks like.
Yeah.
Whole line forgot how to block. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's what the patch does. And mm-hmm. sometimes that's what real life does.
Dave Ducks says the SEC probably can't hang beyond Georgia. Dave, are you an Oregon fam? Because there is a moat, there is a moat in your eye that you might want to tend to. Second of all, Vanderbilt,
Texas looked really good. Tennessee looked yeah. like I understand who they played week one, and just as it's probably just as dangerous to overreact.
Yeah,
to
Oregon played Idaho.
There is that
poorly.
Well, Idaho is a former
poorly.
FBS team here.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
The Yarbnals.
Yeah, Texas looked fine. Bama has not, like, again, week one, lots of change. Everybody just calmed down to some extent, but I don't agree with that assessment of the SEC.
Doesn't sound like
this. South Carolina is in trouble. Yes, I agree with that.
South Carolina won.
That's true.
Yeah. Another team that looked good, this is how I know I follow the right Ohio State fans, that if I had just judged by social media reactions to game one, I would have sworn that they had beaten Akron 13-10.
Yes.
It did look like shit for a while.
They were attempting. That's kind of their thing, though.
When you're that talented.
When they're not going up like 70-0 on Savannah, like, baking school, they're doing something like this.
Dude, it'd be awesome if Savannah Baking School had a banging D1 defense. Like, if they're like, yeah, you're going to beat them because they can't score for shit. But holy fuck, their defensive line.
It's incredible. Just Charleston. It's just College of Charleston, but you can smoke inside.
The muffin monsters. Yeah.
It's very specific Savannah slander.
They ended up winning 52-6. It's fine. Akron, though, was up 3-0. Take a picture of the scoreboard, y'all. They were up 3-0 at one point.
They did that shit.
Speaking of a team that was up 3-0, the Iowa Hawkeyes then
slow down.
Managed cool to down. Accumulate 40 points in a single regulation game of American football.
I'm warning. We should put a content warning before that, Jason, because dangerously erotic after, Iowa football.
After literally years of Fullcast After Dark, including a vomiting while reading Iowa's box score segment, this is new. This is thrilling. This is exciting. Threw three touchdowns. There was a stat that was like three touchdowns to wide receiver. Excuse me. Yeah, that's right. Three touchdowns to wide receivers is like equaled all of last season. Like, sure, they're playing Illinois State. Illinois State's decent. That's a solid FCS team. This is the kind of team that, you know, a year ago they would have put up like 4.1 points on somehow.
Yeah.
Iowa threw three.
They did.
Great.
That's the first time Iowa's thrown three passing touchdowns in a game since 2021.
Were we doing Fullcast After Dark in 2021? There's a quiz. What year is this?
Like, if you were
How
a freshman,
many years have we been doing this?
If you were a freshman at Iowa for the 2021 season and you saw that three touchdown passing game against, I think it was against Maryland, you are now a senior and you might have entered the season being like, well, don't think I'm seeing another one. That was it. But Cade McNamara came through, and you know who wasn't there for all of it?
Like Fairy Tale of New York, but for football.
Kirk Ferentz. Suspended for recruiting shenanigans.
I get suspended and look at what you guys do. Disgusting.
The restrictor plate is off. Also, the Iowa under, still cashed.
Still cashed by 1 point. I choose to believe that Kirk Ferentz is fine that this happened while he wasn't home because he's that parent who's like, I'd rather you didn't drink, but if you do, please do it.
Oh, no, there's no way he's that cool.
I see this as like, let him get it out of her system. Then first, like, tomorrow or Monday at practice is like, all right, you little fuckers.
Well, I hope you had your fun. We're only putting up 16 on Illinois.
No more of that bullshit the rest of the way. Meanwhile, Brian Ferentz, his Maryland Terrapins put up 50. So... Ferentz family running wild.
Yeah.
September Maryland, baby. September Maryland's coming.
It's September as of right now.
Pitt beat Kent State 55-24. That also was real dicey for a while there. It ended up being fine. And Pitt's quarterback threw for 333 yards and three touchdowns. But for a minute.
Speaking of, Pitt fans are interested in one thing, and it disgusts Pat Narduzzi. Scoring 55 points, going to happen again. Not on my watch. No.
Someone in the comments has recommended that Dabo needs to hire Brian Ferentz. I think we finally solved all our problems at once.
Oh, yeah, this is Eli Holstein. Killer fucking name, man.
Yeah.
Eli Holstein, 333 yards on the day, three scores. I believe he had like 219 yards at the half. He was on fire. The word electrifies is in the description of a punt return TD for Pitt. What about Pitt has been electric? Nothing. Absolutely nothing over the past couple of years. So
yes,
it's Kent State, but damn, double digit scoring every single quarter. That's impressive. It's impressive.
We have a few games that are still going. Kentucky fans are so drunk at this point because this game like started 2 hours late. It's delayed in the third
quarter. Wait, all our snacks. Oh, no.
Yeah, I feel Kentucky fans are going to feel terrible tomorrow because they're going to be like, how did I accidentally drink 16 beers? What happened?
To be clear, the game is delayed in the third quarter. It's 31-0, and they're not calling this game.
No. They are not doing that.
What the hell?
Run the fucking clock. Run that shit.
And Arizona State is beating Wyoming 27-0.
Strong.
And Arizona State should be considered.
Yeah. Are there any games, because it's week one, because it stretches further back into time, I don't want us to neglect our Thursday, Friday brethren. Are there any games from earlier in the week that you would like to discuss?
Yes.
Go for it.
Let's talk about Mac Brown. Draining PJ Fleck like a fucking Tommyknocker.
Let me see your carotid, son.
Oh my god. First of all, I'm convinced there's at least one Fox producer now who is in on the joke and who knows what they're doing, because the cameras initially missed the beginning, or they did not cut to initially the beginning of the Fleck Mac Brown midfield encounter. And then not only did they go back and show us a clip of it from a different angle, when they came back from the break for the post-game interviews, they played it again in slow-mo. Thank you, Fox. We appreciate you.
Man, Mac Brown.
It's important to see the exact moment when the life drains from your eyes. I would put that up there in the top four of Mac Brown post-game handshakes in which he drains the life from his opponents. The two of the others are Miami coaches. I think the he did Manny real bad with like a quintuple grab. He did a real weird one with Mario. The worst one I think is still to date is when he grabbed Shane Beamer by the throat.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Daddy Dom. Mac. Yeah.
Mac Brown has said one of, I think, the meanest things unintentionally I've ever heard him say after this game.
It's not he's a fucking church biddy. It's not unintentional.
Where
he's real good at acting like it's unintentional.
So UNC beats Minnesota after allowing Minnesota to go on like a pretty easy drive that should set up the game-winning field goal. Minnesota misses this field goal. And Mac Brown is asked after the game, like, you know, what do you think of this, that, and the other? And he says, well, that's the best our defense has played in years. And I was just like, Gene Chizik can hear you, man. He's not here anymore, but his friends might be watching this.
There's no way Gene Chizik's watching that game.
That's fair. Gene Chizik was asleep.
We really improved our coaching in the offseason.
And like they were better on defense, but still, Gene Chizik, you didn't have to specifically point out that Gene Chizik.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
It felt like that.
Yeah. By the way, PJ Fleck lining up for a long field goal like it's gold. If you're a college coach and do this, fuck you. Oh my god. I saw it three or four times today, lining up and stacking up a 40-yard field goal like it is
okay,
like it's a CD.
But in PJ Fleck's defense, Minnesota has a kicker who's like this 6'4", 260 Serbian dude who everybody on the team loves. And I'm like, yeah, I want him to win the game. I do want him to win the game.
I want him to win the game too, which is why you should go score a touchdown or get him closer when you have over a minute left on the clock, instead of being like, nah, Yaroslav's got this. No, that's not. I don't know if his name is Yaroslav.
I think it is.
No. Ronko. Oh, Ronko has this.
You're
going
to have to write a letter now.
Going to have to write a letter.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't do that shit. Don't. That's loser shit. Mm-hmm. I saw some serious loser shit by coaches today. That's loser shit.
Okay.
Vandy tried to lose on that, but you know who didn't let that happen? Fate, because Fate was like, my man Diego's got this.
It's a little for Vandy, it's a little different when it's tied. And also, like, what is Vandy going to do? Like, be like, yes, now we'll uncork our 40-yard passing route, you know?
No, we're gonna let Diego Bobby do some shit. That's okay. Your new plan.
Instead of 40-yard field goal, Diego Bobby is just gonna run.
What is a better plan? What worked today, Ryan?
It's the coaches gesturing from instead of gesturing downfield, it's the coaches gesturing from the sideline to midfield, just going, fuck it, Diego's over there somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look over at Jerry Kill and you go, hey, Mystical Beaver.
Yeah.
I need you to come up with a cool play. And he'll be like, yeah, sure, we could do that.
It's much more painful that Virginia Tech, like, got bailed out by that missed field goal and then had to lose in overtime anyway.
I'm sorry to break in, but we have a disturbing news from Declan. Am I to understand that Biff Poggi was wearing a polo shirt?
Huh.
It's over.
Sell out.
Ugh.
That game didn't go well either.
Interesting.
I mean, not that the ones where he wore, like, you know, Dad, why did you wear that to the restaurant? where those went well. So I get it.
Trying to look stylish.
Thank you, barbecue.gov. It's poll over.
Speaking of looking stylish, my playoff pick, NC State, looking so fine with that 38-21 win over Western Carolina.
Shut up.
God, that looked bad.
When y'all turn on each other.
I think it looked very handsome.
Michigan State's win against Florida Atlantic. God, Jesus Perfect. Christ.
No, I'm not going to hear any slander on this shit. This is Michigan State's back.
Michigan State's box score.
Back where?
Michigan State's box score by quarter. 2-14-0-0. Get out of here with this garbage. Come on.
No, it adds up. That's the kind of the numbers add up and they spell disaster for Florida Atlantic.
That's right. That's the kind of garbage that that only makes Michigan State stronger. Every year when they were good, Mark D'Antonio would roll out a team that in week one would come out and they would beat Eastern Michigan by a score of 16-12.
Yeah.
That's it. This is tradition.
Didn't they like barely beat Utah State one year, I want to say?
Yeah, they did that every year. Yeah. They'd roll out and be like, we don't know how to do anything.
Yeah, Michigan State week one is some real, like, oh, I slept terrible, but I got to go to work.
Oh, my darn back hurts. Speaking of fashion and looking great, also in attendance for Texas A&M tonight, wearing a maroon Howdy shirt was glowing Arizona fascist Carrie Lake.
Oh, that's fun.
So that added to the Cruz curse, I think.
Like, even though teams in her state are playing?
Sure.
Idiot.
She's trying to win Texas?
Jesus Christ.
Is she running for anything? I don't understand.
She's running for a Senate seat in Arizona.
Okay. Sure. Fuck Arizona State, I guess.
Well, I need your vote
did
here
you
in
get
College
lost?
It's pretty far. Lost. It's really fucking far away. This is shades of when, what's her name? Carly Fiorina rooted against her alma mater in the Rose Bowl.
God. Yeah.
And then she's lost by 7,000 like points.
She was like, I hope both teams have play good, play hard, and make good points.
No, like, she was like, I love my alma mater, but today I'm an Iowa fan. And
I love my alma mater, but I'm a huge, huge monster.
I don't want to gatekeep, but if you are a politician and you decide to do a college football, either know what the fuck you're doing or just, like, stay out of it completely.
Or just, like, say I am a huge Georgia fan.
All you have
fan.
To do is say go blank. Like, come
or,
on.
Or fuck the NCAA. If you say fuck the NCAA, people will cheer no matter where you
Watch
are.
Watch the votes roll in.
It's so easy. It's the easiest thing to not fuck up.
You know what I like is kickoffs.
Yeah.
We love when that happens.
But then NFL fans are like, we don't know anymore. Maybe. I don't know.
Those are confusing.
Maybe they're great.
Full steam.
I have to
Somebody
watch it
in the comments says... Arizona person in the comments says we don't claim Carrie Lake. Buddy, I gotta tell you, we live in Georgia and Tennessee. That's not how it works.
Is it Carrie?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I think. I feel bad that I know that.
This is the lady who was giving a speech and was receiving the onstage prompts of get the fuck off.
Yeah, have you seen the AP photos of her teleprompter?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God.
Shut the fuck up. The big guy is antsy. The big boy's got some shit to blurble.
He's going to talk about the time that he and Morgan Fairchild went to a lovely party together.
Get the fuck off stage. We want to hear about the late, great Hannibal Lecter.
Sometimes you say shit like that, and I'm like, Chris Connolly's running for president?
That's an inside joke.
I have a... Do we want to talk about Penn State, West Virginia?
A little bit. A little bit. Yeah.
Can I tell you when? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I tell you when I knew we were in trouble?
Sure.
Because it was right at the beginning of the game, and Spencer is a witness.
Okay.
I knew that we were in trouble when I was informed by the broadcast. And now this is like coal holler knowledge as someone hailing from a different Eastern European bloc. I knew that we were in trouble when I saw that Penn State had a robustly shaped offensive coordinator with what sounded like a Polish last name. Because if you've never been in a coal camp and don't have family in a coal camp, I got to tell y'all, man, those Polish kids always got cousins and they can all fight.
Yes. And he did, by the way,
Spencer, did I not turn to you and say we're in trouble?
Yeah. Andy Kotelnicki, the former offensive coordinator.
I don't actually know if he's even Polish.
Yeah,
but he gives off Polish fighting vibes, and they're also to be feared and respected.
He also is a robust gentleman who described his offense as like, you know, good stuff, but with some candy all over it. So, it's simple stuff, but you know, you put candy and you get. I was like, oh yeah, this guy's gonna be great. Penn State.
They also had a guard on the line whose last name is Wormy, and I'm like, oh, we are fucking toast.
Yeah, Penn State. As long as James doesn't grab the wheel, it looks like their offense could be productive. Can be productive. I didn't say like great, but they look a little more dynamic. Drew Aller looks more comfortable.
Polish readers weighing in the comments. They'll grow up kicking each other's asses, then they'll kick yours for fun. Yes.
Yeah.
They like push the ball downfield more and more effectively than they have in previous.
That looked weird. I hadn't seen that.
That did look a little weird. Also, one of the most bafflingly officiated games. Like, not even like, oh, this is why West Virginia lost.
I didn't want to talk about it because I don't want it to sound like sour.
I don't mean like, oh, this is what decided the game, because I don't think it did. But it was just like, there were so many times where it would be like, well, as you can see here, this is going to get overturned. And then they'd just be like, no, call stands. Whatever. Move on. Stop living in the past. Refs moving on too.
Also, Gus Johnson wore full seersucker and is kind of, this is complimentary, is aging into like kind of like a Norman Osborn look that I think really works for him.
You know, I'm something of a scientist too.
No, really, go look. Also, by the way, in Under the Wire, wearing seersucker to start Labor Day weekend. Very clever. Yeah.
I don't know if he listens to the show or not, but if on air he goes, am I a bad person, Joel Klatt? Like, please.
It was their 10th anniversary, and you can kind of imagine, as you see the weariness in Joel Klatt's eyes as they discuss this, you can kind of imagine Joel Klatt talking to a mask of Gus at night.
Sure. The goblin calls. I do like when Joel Klatt is on the call for a poorly officiated game, because he can't be cool about
no
it.
No patience for
he
it.
He cannot be chill about
no,
it.
No, it's so great.
Like, Joel Klatt is the kind of person who if you were in the airport with him and they kept delaying the flight, like, he'd just be loudly talking about, these airlines, they don't know what the fuck they're doing anymore. They can't get their shit together. Now they've timed out this crew, so we gotta wait on some fucking pilot to come all the way from a gate 30 minutes away? What are we doing here? And I appreciate that about him. He just can't be like, well, you know, that's how they're calling it. Nope, Joel Klatt is like, oh, this is all so stupid.
Yeah, I don't get it. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Joel. Like, that's... I know we all have our agreements and disagreements with announcers, but that is one thing that with Joel you go, thank you for that. That's a comfort to the to the listener or viewer. Yeah.
Can I offer one more quick bit of praise?
Oh, sure. I wanted to answer one more question.
Oh, sure.
Question from the bopper. What did Gus and Joel do during the rain delay? At the very start of the rain delay, what they did was make fun of the Fox desk crew who had been down on the field and had to find shelter. Like, they were like, ha ha, the fancy boys are getting rained on.
Kyle McCord, no longer welcome in Ohio State. Cast out, sent to the Syracuse wilderness. 354 yards and 4 touchdowns in a win against Ohio. Yes. You're home, Kyle.
All right, we got a statement here from the SEC. By mutual agreement of the participating institutions, as permitted by NCAA rules, tonight's game between Kentucky and Southern Mississippi has been terminated and is considered a complete game. This is a lie. It is a half game. With a final score of 31-0 in favor of Kentucky, all statistics in this game are considered final and complete. Again, incorrect. This is going down as a half game, which is how we eventually get to NC State at 8.5 wins. Thank you.
Okay. Great.
Hate to correct the SEC, but you know.
Somebody
listen, they called it a complete. They terminated the game and they called it complete. But these 28 beers are still in my bloodstream, mm-hmm. Randy. Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
Now you're sending everybody in that stadium to sleep it off in their cars in a wet parking lot. Way to go.
Again, been doing this a lot lately.
Quitters.
It's been hard at home.
Kentucky people could die. No, Kentucky people can't die. That's your mistake.
Because they're pickled. I don't think that's how pickles work. I don't think pickles are ever living. No. Now that I think about it. I don't think every cucumber you pickle can't die.
Traditional pickling liquid does use lye, which is used in concentrated form to dissolve bodies.
Huh.
You don't make pickles in a parking lot.
You can. But maybe says who?
You don't make pickles in a parking lot. We're talking about Kentucky football.
I bet Andy Kotelnicki would make pickles in a parking lot.
You don't make pickles in a parking lot. Okay, Paul Harvey.
Maybe, you know what? That's my children's book. You don't make pickles in a parking lot. A children's book about football and tailgating.
It has too many cusses.
Yeah, that's, kids love that. Someone's got to teach them. You ever seen it? Listen, if you ever find anyone happier than a child who's just heard an outrageous profanity, let me know, because I haven't seen it yet.
Sure. I hope, you know what? Based on that logic, I bet a lot of kids had fun at the Florida-Miami game today.
Oh, I bet they learned a lot of stuff. Miami fans with homophobic slurs not even yet invented. Like, they're dropping new ones.
It's a wonderful state full of wonderful people.
It's a terrible place. When it's at the bottom of the ocean, no one will miss it.
There we go. This is what I was waiting for earlier.
Not a bit of it.
Not a big fella.
Some of it.
No. No, not a goddamn bit. Name one.
Maybe.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, he'll get out.
How do you know?
He'll be making coffee in the Swiss Alps or some shit.
The land, the hydroponic farming ride at Epcot.
It's hydroponic. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It's made for this shit. Okay. I mean, we should. Hey, Nebraska kicked the shit out of UTEP. Sure. We're not very nice in Nebraska, and I just feel like we should raise that. That's all.
I don't think it's
excuse
us
me.
That's
Channel
mean 6 to
picked them for the people's team.
Okay.
Yeah, Dylan Raiola looked good.
Which didn't make either one of us happy.
All right.
But we can't deny it.
I apologize.
No, they are the people's team.
We're not mean to Nebraska. We just describe the things that happen in Nebraska.
Nebraska football is mean to Nebraska, the state.
That feels mean, though. Like, if there was a podcast that talked about all the bad times in my life and was just like, well, we're just telling people what happened, like, I would feel bad.
No, we're making Nebraska football fans feel seen, Ryan. So
I don't think they want that. I don't think they want that.
Everyone loves to be. Everyone loves to have their feelings affirmed and acknowledged, Ryan. And
okay.
So to be told that, like, hey, Nebraska, it's so valid that you think all the terrible things your team has done are terrible.
Uh-huh.
That was really great emotional support by us when we did that for years.
Good job, us, I guess, is the lesson.
I need to hop back to Michigan real quick because we have at least one listener tonight who wore the temporary Spencer's face tattoos that we gave out after the Charity Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
At least one person wore it into the big house tonight.
So to clarify, because I think somebody was asking, that is not – somebody did not really get – well, I can't say for sure.
No. If you weren't on – if you see someone with a full color tattoo of Spencer's face, a la the Jaguar Spencer from a few years ago, but it's his real face colored face, and he's holding a rose in his teeth, that is a special secret prize that we gave out to Michigan donors from the Charity Bowl, who came to our party this summer. And I don't actually think we ever posted them online. So I didn't realize that until today. This man was posting about he might have gotten a real tattoo over the top of it. And if he did, we're going to have to go with some new way of celebrating that.
That's cool. If we didn't mention your team, like, yeah, Ole Miss kicked the shit out of Furman. Too bad.
Y'all are asking to be mailed one. Did you go to Michigan and did you donate to the Charity Bowl? No, you can't have one. They're special.
Damn.
Sorry.
If we didn't mention your team, it's because
we hate them.
It's because we personally hate them and we hope they do badly.
It's because we're trying to keep them off of Ted Cruz's radar. We don't want him to know about your team.
I heard you had Sprite for my eggs. They're hatching soon and I need it.
Please
we'll be there.
How is that worse than the Bobby Petrino voice?
Because
sports.
So,
I need you to spritz my eggs.
So
love sports.
No, don't say my eggs in that voice.
My eggs need glazed.
No. No.
Have eggs.
No.
Oh, just lacquer it on there.
Seven Up will not be acceptable.
Doug, get why are you texting me the thing that I begged him not to say? Stop
get
it.
Eggs, get eggs through customs. Take to Cancun. Hatch safely.
The eggs are in my back.
Oh my God, I hate it here. I hate
love
it
to
so
sport.
Much.
Love to sport.
Oh.
Does this sporting establishment have more Sprite?
Do my eggs look infected?
Good. Oh. Good. That means they are ready.
To be consumed.
Hello, Albert's Triv. Thank you.
I should not have taken an edible.
Welcoming. We are welcoming.
I'm never getting high before this show again.
Yeah. Execute poor for power.
And steal their eggs.
No, yeah, I'm asleep next to your wife, Robert. How do you think I feel?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Thank
yeah,
you know
Jay
what?
Polto says, edible plus full cast after dark is my go-to move. It's fine.
That's
I
my
am
go-to
amazed.
Move, and I am not fine.
I think what we could do is we could, like, pay someone to animate, like, Ted Cruz chest burster.
Yeah, but he's happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
this
he's
last.
He's like,
so
at last I have a friend.
I have
Ascension Day is here.
I have blossomed. Ted is a beautiful flower.
I don't like it out here. I'm going back in there.
Jake's voice is adorable. Ryan's and Spencer's are scary, and I don't like them.
I would like to, sincerely, Spencer, thank you for all the episodes where you didn't do this voice.
I just want to point out someone in the comments has typed...
I would rather you do Ricky Gervais.
Someone has typed Ted Cruz erect chest burster.
Okay, remind us when we promo this episode just to tweet out no title, no context, just Ted Cruz erect chest burster.
Ted Cruz eggs? Question mark. Ted Cruz Sprite eggs?
Ted Cruz egg sack. Oh,
sack. Right. You said sack. You took it there.
No, just with a. Oh my God. Oh my God. Sack time, but just with a C.
Oh yeah. God.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you didn't want me to make it worse?
No, it's fine.
I can't make it worse.
Like, where the fuck is he gonna go when Texas and Texas A&M play each other? Like, are they just gonna keep like foisting him off on the other? Like,
oh no,
Ted, I hear they have really good Sprite.
Oh yes,
in the
please
A&M
foist
box.
Me.
Oh, God.
No, what they're gonna do is they're gonna be like, Baylor will pay you $1 million to occupy him for the weekend.
just take him out to the country.
Now, okay, I wish, man, if you're listening to this show later, you really missed out because the comments right now are just a spinning wall of people typing over and over again, Ted Cruz eggs, do you agree?
Coach.
Oh, those are going to be some good LinkedIn comments. Hey, LinkedIn. Hey, LinkedIn, come look at this. Why is Ted Cruz eggs trending on LinkedIn? Oh, Spencer, this is probably a good place to end.
I'm not even sure I can bring myself to type the words Ted Cruz eggs.
You're
this
strong
would be
enough.
A good place to end the show. If you are listening, by the way, we'll update you on the few ongoing games. Middle Tennessee is currently up on Tennessee Tech 24-18. Arizona is up 27-24 in a tight one with the Lobos and early in the third quarter. Arizona State is routing Wyoming 34-0 and Jet Fish's.
No.
You can't say that after all that talk about Ted Cruz's eggs.
Mm. Eggs. Would it be more or less upsetting if they were spores?
No.
Ted Cruz
Nutton? Eggs is worse. Eggs is worse.
Eggs is worse, yeah.
And Washington is up 14-0 over Weber State.
Oh,
this...
I don't feel good.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
Hey, what sponsor do you want to attach to this mess right now?
Who's responsible for this, Spencer?
Ted Cruz eggs have been brought to you by
Prize Picks.
Prize Picks.
An egg.
Prize Picks.
That's right.
More eggs.
Select
more
an egg.
The Full Cast After Dark sponsored by Prize Picks. picks. If you want more of this exciting content and not less, you can thank them. We are thrilled.
Oh no, surprisingly, TedCruzEggs.com is available.
Oh, well, okay.
Lloyd, get on that.
We have to hang up now.
We do. Thank you for joining us. This is fun. We're going to do it every week because it's college football and we love it along with eggs.
Which came first, the pick 'em or the eggs?
Right.
Bye.